I sure do appreciate you guys dropping by. And today we're going to continue our series on how can I know God's will? And we've covered several bases in Scripture concerning this. In the last few days, we've been talking about ways God can make His will known to us. Just as a very rapid review, you know, remember, it needs to square with the Scripture. What do the Scriptures say? Also, there will be a witness of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit testifying to? He will guide us into all truth. And certainly the truth about what God wants us to do with our lives is part of that. And so knowing God's will is really important. Sometimes it can be a matter of life and death. It can shift the whole direction of your life at times. And it's the blessed life, the life that's lived and guided by the Holy Spirit. And so also we've seen that sometimes God can speak to you through the counsel of other believers. And we talked about how personal revelatory encounters can sometimes be used in helping us know what God's will is. We talked about dreams and visions, and we're going to be stepping into an area similar to that today. Yesterday, we talked about how the Scripture teaches that we're to obey and submit to those spiritual authorities in our life, and there's also general principles in Scripture about honoring the authorities that are over us. And sometimes God makes His will known through our leaders, just as the Holy Spirit leads us. There are other leaders in our life. Never are they to take the place of the Holy Spirit, but God will sometimes use them to give direction, and the Spirit inside of you will bear witness with that. And as I repeat, you know, we always want to be careful when we try to replace the Holy Spirit's role in another believer's life. You can get into witchcraft when you start doing that kind of stuff. And you know it's witchcraft when there's manipulation, when there's intimidation, when there's domination, those kind of things going on, trying to control people. Even with the Scriptures, trying to control people, we need to minister out of a place of humility. We need to honor the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. And none of us have the corner on the market, but each of us will answer to our own master. And so we have a personal responsibility before the Lord to confirm His leadership, however it's coming, through Scripture, through other people, through our spiritual authorities and so forth. And today, I'm excited about sharing with you another way God can make His will known. And I'm just going to simply say through, revelatory gifts and the prophetic. Now, we talked about personal revelatory encounters and dreams and visions. I've kind of separated that out. And this is another piece of that, but it's going to be primarily about the prophetic today. And let me just tell you right up front, I believe very much in the prophetic. It's deeply impacted my life. There have been times I've moved in the prophetic, and I've seen it impact the lives of other people. And I believe it is for today. Peter says, "Let as every man has received the gift, even so minister to the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So there are a variety of spiritual giftings, and there is a personal responsibility and accountability that we have to flow in the gifts that God has entrusted us with. I'll remind you also that in Ephesians chapter 4, it says He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Those are functioning offices in the body of Christ where God anoints people to flow in those anointings. Now, I know some people believe those are not for today, but I have found those scriptural support that I'm satisfied with that would indicate that we're not to continue just as the early church did. And we'll be looking at that some today, because I do want to talk about the prophetic. You remember when Paul was writing to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14, he says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." And this is one translation of that. Another translation says, "No, don't neglect the gift that's in you through the laying on of my hands." You just stir up that gift. And so Paul clearly taught Timothy that through prophetic ministry, that he had received some direction and impartation that he was to walk out in his life. Now, in the Old Testament, you see there were a number of prophets, and there were a number of occasions when a king would seek out a prophet in order to get direction from the Lord. But on the day of Pentecost, there was a pivotal shifting, that we see taking place, because Joel had prophesied in the Old Testament a day would come when God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Now, you see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament primarily coming upon individuals that had been given particular appointments or particular assignments, and it wasn't necessarily for everyone. But Joel said there's coming a day when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, not just Jewish flesh, but Gentile flesh. And it would not be just men, but also women. And Peter got up on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit was poured out. And he basically says, Joel saw it a-coming, and it's happening now before our very eyes. It's like he said, it was prophesied that this day would come. Well, now it's here. He basically connected the events on the day of Pentecost with that prophetic word God had given through the prophet Joel in the Old Testament era, and said, this is that which Joel had prophesied. And what was it? Well, part of it was that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. Old men would dream dreams. Young men would see visions. So there's dreams and visions that would be a part of the early church and the body of Christ. And he said, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Note that. Not just the guys, but the girls as well. Men and women, sons and daughters, would prophesy. And that's interesting. I like to say it this way. On the first day of church, when the Holy Spirit showed up, Peter reached back and took the prophetic word and says, it was prophesied that this day would one day arrive, and it's here in our midst. And now that signals a change. The Holy Spirit's going to be received into people without discretion. Just those that believe that they would be impacted personally by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel said that a new heart, they'd be given a new heart. That's the new birth. And Joel said that there would be revelatory giftings that would be released and begin to happen among those that would dream dreams, those that would see visions, and there would be prophetic ministry among sons and daughters, and even the different status, if you will, among handmaidens and among men servants. It wouldn't just be, quote, for the head of households. It'd be even the servants. And we see here it was a gate of glory opening up when the Holy Spirit was poured out. He is the gift to the believer, but he is the gift when he comes bearing gifts. Some of those gifts are revelatory in nature. There are words of wisdom. There are words of knowledge. There's the gift of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All of those are revelatory giftings in which there is a communication that takes place from the spirit realm into the earthly realm, from our headquarters in heaven where Jesus is seated to the sphere of ministry here on earth, where we are representing Christ to the world as his body in the earth, the church. And so that's the nature of the prophetic. And there's just times when through these gifts, sometimes a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that God's will be made known, sometimes even through a message of tongues. When it's interpreted, that becomes a prophetic word. That's what the scripture teaches. Or sometimes just a straight prophetic word will come forth that will give some type of communication or direction concerning what God is doing or what God desires to do. This series is about how can I know God's will, and I'm just saying one of the ways that can happen is through the prophetic or through revelatory gifts as they're flowing and functioning. Yes, they are for today. You can read at the end of Matthew's gospel, the end of Mark's gospel, that the church has a mandate to carry the gospel to the world, and then we're to teach those that are saved to do the same things that Jesus did. And Jesus told them in Mark, he talked about these supernatural signs that would accompany their ministry, and he said, I'll be with you even until the end of the age. The age has not ended. He is still moving in our midst through his Spirit in those very same ways. And so, and there are times when God's will is made known. Now, we see this in the early church. For instance, in Acts chapter 11, we're told that there was a certain prophet named Agabus. There you go. There was a man who was viewed by the early church as a prophet. Now, I personally believe that all believers, we are prophetic in nature. That is, we have the Holy Spirit who can guide us into all truth. He can show us things to come. We may have dreams that are prophetic. Sometimes we may even get a prophetic word. And I believe that's true for believers at large. But then there are some people that their assignment, their gifting and calling is to function in the, say, in the office of a prophet. Now, I remember hearing one person who's recognized for years with a prophetic mantle in his life. What's the difference between someone who can move in the prophetic and someone who sits in the office of a prophet? And he said about 20 years. I think there's some truth to that. Well, in the early church, there was a recognized prophet by the name of Agabus. And he prophesied that a famine was going to come, and it did. History records that it came. But as a result of that prophetic word, they began to take up a collection among the saints and send it to the saints in Jerusalem, who later suffer as a result of this famine. And so, and later in Acts 21, we see Agabus again, where he runs into Paul. And he takes Paul's belt and he ties up his hands. And then he said, the man to whom this belt belongs, he will be bound, he will be delivered by the Jews in Jerusalem and hand over to the Gentiles in this way. And when the believers heard this word, they tried to talk Paul out of going. And Paul said, not only am I willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die if need be. Why? Because he felt strongly God had already set the direction of his life. It was God's will for him to go to Jerusalem. Then why the prophetic word? I believe the Spirit of God moved upon Agabus to prepare Paul for what was coming. Now, that's your options. He was giving a word of exhortation that would help equip and prepare Paul to face what was before him so that when it happened, he would know, well, the Lord told me this was going to happen, right place, right time. Paul ended up in Rome as a result of this, and he ended up eventually dying in Rome. But also a lot of good things happen there as well. The other option is to say, well, Paul dismissed it. One thing about it, Agabus got it right, didn't he? Because that's exactly what would happen to Paul a little later on when he went to Jerusalem. He was bound and handed over and arrested. But Paul wasn't fazed by that prophetic word. As a matter of fact, I think it strengthened him. It prepared him. Sometimes the prophetic will happen in that way. Sometimes we may be warned so that we can adjust and avoid things. Sometimes the Lord's just showing, hey, this is what's going to happen. Be ready for it. But you already know what my will is. I've already made that clear to you. And so the prophetic will comfort. It will encourage. It will exhort. Sometimes it can warn. But it's a very powerful way the Holy Spirit can communicate to us. I remember early on when I became open to the prophetic, I was in a meeting and there was a lady from another state that was ministering. She looked at me and she said, the Lord's about to open some doors for you. You're going to be going to Africa. I think she said, you're going to be going to India and several things. And you know what? About 2 weeks after that meeting, I got a phone call being invited to go to Kenya, which was in East Africa. And see, the Lord already told me it's going to open a door. And so I didn't have to pray long. The Lord already prepared me for that. And I said yes. And I went and traveled there and had a great time of ministry there. And then it wasn't before long the other doors opened up. But the Lord prepared me to be ready for those doors that were going to be opening. I remember before I moved into this area, I was in a service. I attended a service in this area, and there was a man ministering, didn't know me, looked back in the audience, and it wasn't a, quote, Baptist meeting, but I was still pastoring in the Baptist church at the time. He said, "Hey, you, Mr. First Baptist." And he started prophesying over me and said, "Lord's going to raise you up in this region. He's going to give you this ministry." And you know what? It happened just like that word said. And it's amazing how that works. Well, I don't know if I believe in that, preacher. Well, it's in the scripture. And you're going to have to find scripture that tells you you shouldn't expect that, that God no longer does that. And I don't find those scriptures. But what I do find are numbers of scriptures where God moves in the prophetic and moves through spiritual gifts to bring about His will, to forward the gospel ministry, to position people for assignments that have to do with their destiny. Sometimes God will make His will known to us in those ways through the prophetic. So that's just part and parcel of New Testament Christianity. You say, "Well, I don't know. But you know, the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, Jesus sends through a revelatory encounter that the Apostle John had on Patmos. He sends these specific words to individual churches to speak to them. And that's part of scripture now. And see, I believe God can still send messages, to a corporate message like through Agabus about the famine that was coming. And God can still minister personally, prophetically, like Agabus ministered to Paul to help him have clarity about what was about to happen. God still does those type of things. The same Holy Spirit that lives in you, that lived in the Apostle Paul, that moved in the prophet Agabus, that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He is the Father's gift to you, and He still has all those gifts that He releases to the body. You know, some people say, "Well, I just don't believe those things happen today." Well, then, you not believe the same Holy Spirit dwells in you? If He does, has He somehow been handcuffed? Is He somehow like, "Okay, Holy Spirit, you can do these things in the early church, but after that, no, 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 no. We don't want you doing those powerful things. We don't want you leading and guiding, exhorting, comforting." You know, they have the written word now. And this is not to minimize the written word. No, it's to maximize the written word. These things we are taught to do in the written word. That should give us confidence that God can still speak to us in those ways today. Well, I think they're abused. Yeah, they are. But they're also ignored and neglected in other places. So, again, it comes back to this. We have to hold these things in humility. We need to be grounded in the written word of God. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And if we'll do that, I think the Holy Spirit will keep us in the right, in between the ditches, so to speak, and keep us where we need to be. And if we get off a little bit, He'll start dealing with us and correcting us. Yes, I think sometimes in the prophetic, people can get off course. Sometimes they miss it. Sometimes we get caught up, and I think people can get caught up in everything that's going on and feel like they need a word, and it you know, may not always be a good word. That doesn't always mean there's an ill intent behind it, but that's the reason we also need the Spirit of discernment. That's the reason we also need to know the Word of God. That's the reason we also seek counsel with other believers and not just be a solo lone ranger prophetic somebody out there that where there's no accountability and there's no bouncing things off of one another like the early church did. We see that in Acts 13 and we see it in Acts 15 where they came together to really sense what is God saying. And we need to move more toward that. Amen? So, yes, God still speaks, and sometimes He makes His will known to us through the prophetic and through spiritual gifts. But again, they won't violate the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit will bear witness with what He is doing. Amen. Just makes sense, and I believe it's in the Word. And I pray that you be blessed today. And just join with me right now. Father, we pray that these storms that they're saying is on the way, we just pray for supernatural protection. And we just speak to those clouds to dissipate. We pray that there'd be no violent weather, no destructive weather, no damaged property, no people hurt in any way. Lord, we just ask for protection. And we declare the blood of Jesus over our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Lord willing, be back in the morning at 10:30 a.m. And we'll have probably the concluding lesson in this series we've been doing on how can I know God's will. And the last one's a real important one, too. And it probably happens a lot more than we realize. And I'll be sharing that with you tomorrow. God bless you and love you all.